Music has been greatly influenced by Christianity through the centuries. In America, there's a great deal of patriotic music in and out of the church. I mean, for example, the Battle Hymn of the Republic is, after all, a hymn. America the Beautiful is also a hymn. An accomplished musician with many published books and piano recordings is pianist Gail Smith. Her website is gailsmithpianist.com. And she joins us on Vocal Point to talk about music, including patriotic music. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and this is Vocal Point. And Gail, we welcome you to the program. Thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you. Nice to be here.
Sure. Now, you've written a lot of books, and I've noticed you even have some books about patriotic music. And are there any comments you want to make? Let's start with this, just kind of as an overall point. A starting point. Would you say that the church, and I mean, you know, from the beginning of the church to the present, has been extremely important to the development of music? And if so, how?
Well, the church, and going back to even Deborah in the Bible, she was the first woman composer, actually. She was a judge, and she composed a song, "Let us sing unto the Lord." And
Wait. What about Miriam? Wouldn't Miriam predate Deborah? But there's another woman, too. She would. She would, because she's in the Torah, and Deborah's in the book of Judges. But you're right. That's
right.
Two examples.
Moses,
that's amazing.
Sister, right. But there's been music and singing in the Bible, so the people sang centuries and centuries ago, and so a lot of those melodies we probably are still singing today. But going up to date here was, you mentioned America the Beautiful, and that is one of our wonderful American patriotic songs. And a lot of people don't realize Catherine Bates, she was born 1893, and the words we thought were only written in Colorado, looking at the mountain's majesty. But the last verse always, I was wondered what it meant, alabaster cities gleam. And she was taking a train ride on her way to Colorado and stopped at the World's Fair in 1893. And that was when electricity was first in our American cities, the first time we had electric light. So we needed lights to be able to sing in church, and I tell you, that was a great discovery. I mean, when we had, but that's why she composed that, and the words that people write are inspired by so many interesting things that it's hard to say what's a patriotic song and what isn't, because a lot of times we don't know all the verses to him. For instance, Charles Wesley, do you realize he wrote 18 stanzas to "Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing," and there are only five that are in our hymnal. So many times, not all of the verses are there, and I think it's important to know all of the verses that are made up in a lot of our hymn books, and I love studying hymns, and it's no end to learning new things about the hymn writers. There's so many wonderful hymn writers and patriotic music and so forth.
What do you know this backstory behind "My Country, 'Tis of Thee"?
Well, it was written by Lowell Mason, actually. It was a melody, "God Save Our King," but Lowell Mason had gone to Germany and studied actually how to teach singing. The Vienna Boys Choir, and a lot of them were doing a solfège back then, and he was born in 1792, and he went to for 15 months and studied the hymn writing and so forth, and just what was going on in Europe so he could teach. And he started music in the public schools of America and wrote music for the public schools and so many singing books. And he found a Gregorian chant over there, and we're singing it, and people know it as "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." But it was a old Gregorian chant, which is goes back centuries. And it had just four notes, and it was just the slowest melody. But he realized he could make it into a fabulous hymn, and he gave it new life. And there's one more note that's used just once. Think of it, if sometimes sing it really slowly, and you'll be singing Gregorian chant to "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." It's really mind-boggling. But he he ended up publishing the first hymn books in America. I guess Williams Billings did, but he put Lowell Mason's music in his books, and Lowell Mason published hundreds of hymn books. I actually own 90 of them, and he compiled them, and his one son was a publisher, and one started the Mason Hamlin Piano Company. And anyway, I celebrated his 200th birthday, and his wife's name was Abigail, and it was a natural thing to do.
Wow. But, you know, it's interesting. I'm sure there's a lot of interesting stories behind the hymnal, but it's sad to me to see that we have this great treasure chest. We, within the Christian church, have this great treasure trove in the hymnal, and yet, unfortunately, in a lot of churches today, you know, they end up having choruses with maybe, you know, somebody derogatorily said it's 7-11 music. You've got seven words and they're sung 11 different ways, but they're ignoring the great hymns of the Wesleys and so forth.
I agree. And a lot of it could be helped if they would, you know, change just the rhythm a little bit and give it a new dressing. For instance, we don't dress in the style of 30 years ago, you know. We're the same person, and the hymn's the same, but they could just give it a new setting. So that's what I love to do with hymns, and give them different settings that people would want to sing them. And the words to the hymns, you can't beat them. And Isaac Watts.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Isaac Watts. Isaac Watts, he's got a dear place in my heart. I mean, the guy is phenomenal. Right. He wrote, but just tell us about Isaac Watts.
Well, he paraphrased all 150 of the Psalms, all except 12 of them, and gave it rhythm. And with the right rhythm, things can be sung, because it was very hard to sing the Psalms. That's why they chanted them way back in Bible times. They would just sing the Psalms, but they would have to chant them in that irregular beat. But he gave it what was known as different meters, the long meter, short meter, or common meter. And he was brilliant to be able to do that. And the best hymns are the ones that are in the same meter for every verse. You can't have a different verse and it have the verb in a different place. For instance, a common meter, a familiar hymn that you know is Amazing Grace. This Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, 8, that save a wretch like me, 6. I once was blind, but now am, whatever, 8 syllables. Well, and
I once was blind, but now I see.
Thank you. Thank you, Heaven. So then the other hymns that are familiar have even verses that have the correct number of syllables for every verse. And a lot of unfortunately, our hymn writers of the day, they don't realize that. And that's why I think we need so many praise songs, because they can only do one verse and then they can set the music to it. Otherwise, you'd have to have a different melody for every verse that they wrote. So that's why they probably sing the same words over and over again.
Yes. How about any comments about John Philip Sousa, one of America's best composers, but he wrote a lot of patriotic music, Stars and Stripes Forever, et cetera.
Sure. Well, he was great, but I don't know too many people that sing those songs. I mean, I love to hear them, but
yeah, I guess you're right. He's mostly instrumental, but I believe you even have, you know, among your books, there's even one of the books is about Stars and Stripes Forever, or you've got some of those tunes from
that in the book. Yeah, I have a whole book of patriotic music that Mel Bay published, and there's just an assortment of the very most famous ones. And of course, I love America the Beautiful and My Country 'Tis of Thee. And I will mention that you know, Lowell Mason was responsible. He had the tune, and he had Samuel Smith, a friend of his, write the words to go with it so it could be sung as our country song. So he was the one that put it together. And Andrew Jackson was there when Lowell Mason's children's choir sang it in a church in Boston. And actually, he composed his first hymn in a Presbyterian church in Savannah, Georgia.
Wow, that's amazing. Anyway. The Independent Presbyterian Church? I think I know which one that
is.
That's,
yes.
You know
Mom
what?
And I,
you want to hear something crazy? In the movie Forrest Gump, where you see this feather coming from outer space or, you know, from the clouds or whatever, and it goes by, it swirls by a steeple. It is the steeple of that church. That church goes back, you know, a couple hundred years or so. And that was the very steeple. I didn't realize that they, well, what was the hymn that was first sung there by the boys choir or by the children's choir?
Well, he composed that when he lived in Boston, but he composed from Greenland's icy mountains. And so that we gave a concert there on his 200th birthday. I like to celebrate great composer's birthday, and actually know what composer's birthday is coming up next month. Well, December 10th, César Franck, and he composed a lot of wonderful choral anthems and just a lot of church music. And I think people need to celebrate composers.
Yes, I agree with you. We have a rich tradition. But before we leave the Savannah issue, clarify for me, what was the song that Andrew Jackson himself heard sung, I guess, for maybe one of the first times in Savannah, in that church?
Actually, it was sung in Boston, but he lived in Savannah first. He had a job there. But it was My Country, 'Tis of Thee, and Andrew Jackson was there, and Lowell Mason had it performed.
Okay, so in other words, he this was first performed in Boston, but the man worked at one point in the Savannah Presbyterian Church. Okay, that's the connection.
Yes.
All right, now you have done a lot of research on a lady named Amy Beach. She is, I guess, America's, you know, one of the best known American women composers, and I understand she wrote a cantata or something like that on the Ten Commandments. Tell us about that. Tell us about Amy
Beach.
Well,
I'm not. She composed just a lot of church music for St. Bartholomew's in New York City, and she lived in Boston, and she was considered the first woman composer, and she composed a symphony that was performed by the Boston Symphony. But she composed a lot of choral anthems and just a ton of music. And I actually met three women that knew her. Three are deceased. And, you know, there's a woman that's 100, and she's going to be 109 in January, that she met her. Anyway.
That's
to
amazing.
To me, it's exciting. Nobody's alive that knew Bach. You know, I'd fly to meet them if they did.
Well, okay, now, speaking of Bach, Bach is like the quintessential example of a Christian musician, is, you know, when it comes to classical music. I mean, he even changed the scales and so forth, as I understand it, as far as music. Go ahead and comment on Johann Sebastian Bach and Christianity.
Well, Bach was just the most wonderful, wonderful composer and church musician. Just, he taught students, he conducted choirs, he was the busiest person there in Germany, and I actually visited the home where he was born in Eisenach, Germany, and actually I celebrated his 300th birthday and made believe I was his wife, Anna Magdalena Bach. So they were incredible. She was a singer, and he was just a wonderful organist, and was the first to play when the piano was invented. And anyway, I could go on all day about Bach.
Sure, and
it was wonderful.
Yeah, and let me just say this, because I learned this in a music appreciation class at Tulane University, which was a very secular environment. The professor said that every note that Johann Sebastian wrote, he dedicated to the glory of Jesus Christ. And we know that his music, sheet music, said at the very top, SDG, as in Soli Deo Gloria. Well, we're out of time. I want to again give your website.
Okay.
It's GailSmithPianist.com. Thank you so much for all you do. God bless you.
You're welcome. And I'm going to be giving a concert on the November 13th that they can check it out at Coleridge. And I have on Spotify, they can ask Gail Smith's music, and they can hear it on any of their platforms.
GailSmithPianist.com for more information. Thank you so much, Gail. All the best.
Thank you.